He's got the toys. He's got showmanship. And he's got sex appeal. Ladies and gentlemen, from the great Southwest, here's the guru of gadgets, the dapper and dashing Don Bain, the Gadget Professor.
Gadget Professor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gadget Professor. My name is Don Bain, and I am the Gadget Professor. I'd like to welcome everyone to today's action-packed show. We have some serious stuff to go over today, a lot of cool things. Our gadget of the day is going to be the Roco 2 Box, the brand new one. Maybe it's been out for about, 5 months at this point, but the Gadget Professor actually got two yesterday, and pretty impressed with the device, certainly after reviewing the Sony machine that we had 3 weeks ago. The Roku just blows that out of the water. So today we're going to basically be looking at what are the new features on the Roku box. Is it worth upgrading if you have the old XR model? We'll take a look at that. I also am going to cover an amazing device, and I've been using these since the day they came out, and that's called the Pogo Plug. So of course, before we begin, we want to make sure that everybody is subscribed to the show. And that's a very simple thing to do. All you need to do is go to thegadgetprofessor.com. That's thegadgetprofessor.com. And on the webpage, you'll see in the middle of the page there a little brown box. And you can just click that where it says The Gadget Professor and subscribe to the show. By subscribing to the show, two things are going to happen. One, you're going to get the show every week when it comes out Thursday night. Occasionally we go Friday morning. Sometimes we're busy and can't get the show published. Other times we have to upload the show to the FTP server, and we have issues with that. But for the most part, everything's been working real well lately, so that's a good thing. The other thing is you want to, when you're on the webpage, subscribe to the show, and you'll see a little subscribe to the show note button. By subscribing to the show notes, you're going to get all the show notes immediately after the show is recorded. And by having the show notes, you don't have to write down all the URLs, because boy, we go through a lot of URLs, as you know, on the show. And basically, if you're new to the Gadget Professor, we'd like to welcome you. And of course, we talk about gadgets and software that hopefully will make your life a little bit easier. We also try to talk a lot about how to get off the that cable connection, because I know that's a getting to be real expensive between that and the dish. So as we move forward in time, there are a lot of more options that are available to people to actually disconnect from that cable or that that satellite dish, and certainly the Roku box gives you one of those opportunities. Today I'd also like to point out that you may recognize something a little different today in the show, our opener. And that's because we had a fan named Warren Andrews, and Warren was so kind to actually do a brand new opening and closing audio piece for us, and we greatly appreciate that. And Warren can be reached at drvoiceover@yahoo.com. So, Mr. Warren Andrews, thank you so much for being so kind and being a fan of the Gadget Professor. I absolutely love the opening and the creativity that you used to produce that, and thank you so much, Warren. Again, thank you. So if anybody wants to contact Warren, of course, you can get him at drvoiceover@yahoo.com. And if you want to email me, the Gadget Professor, just go to thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com and send me anything you like. I have received a ton of email over the last 3 weeks, and I always make it a point of answering all the email, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. Fortunately, I don't get too many ugly ones, so that's great. So let's get right into it today. We have a brand new camera too that we're using, so we think we're going to even get better video from this camera. And what we're going to talk about today is the new Roco 2 box, which you can see right here. And basically, this is what the box looks like. Inside of it, you're actually going to see the device, which is quite small. This is actually what the new one looks like. And what I have here is a comparison between the old Roku box and the new one. The old Roku box, you can see, is like almost three times the size. So right off the bat, there's a big differentiation there. The old Roku controller looks like this, and the new one looks like this. So it's a little bit longer. It has some colored buttons on it, and I must tell you, from a tactile point of view, this new one works a lot better than the old one. And this also has some interesting hidden switches in the back that we'll get to in a minute. So other than the physical size, you can see that the new one is quite small, quite light, and very portable. And the old one is a lot bigger, made of aluminum. The new one's totally plastic. The other thing that's very interesting, and probably a lot of people don't realize, is the old Roku box, and this is important, has a lot more outputs than the new one does. So I'm not talking about the old XR model, Roku XR, which works fine, and I'll get to that in a minute. But the difference here I'd like to point out is on the XR, you had an S-video cable here to put your S-video cable in. You do not have that on the new one. You do have the digital audio out connection. That's still on the new one. You have a USB port on the old XR. The big difference here is that you can see these three RCA jacks here on the top and bottom. One's for component and one's for composite. The composite had a yellow, which was for the video, and your standard red and white for the audio, left channel and right channel. The way I always remember that is, which is left and right? Well, red is right, so that's the right channel, and the left is the white channel. Up on top, you had the red, blue, and green for your composite, so that was an option. That's not an option anymore on the new box. You had your HDMI cable, you certainly had your power port, which you got to have, and you had the Ethernet jack. So those were the jacks, if you will, the output connections on the old Roku box. Let's take a look at the new one. Very different. Over here you have, again, the HDMI, which is going to give you 1080 out. That's the same. What they've done now is they've gone to a cable, which I actually have plugged in. I'm running this through our TriCaster, so we'll be able to see the video. This is a connector. Actually, it's a pin connector, mini jack. So you're going to plug this in, and then this breaks it out into, again, the same thing as we had over here, yellow, red, and white. So you're getting component out of this. And it's not as good, nowhere near as good, as the HDMI or as the composite out. So I think we have those reversed. The composite out is not as good as the component. Sorry about that. So basically what you have out of here is composite, which is, by today's standards, garbage. But I would have rather seen them actually come out as component, red, green, and blue out of this, than come out of the old component. So I don't like it, but that's what it is. This is your input jack for the power pack, which is pretty much the same size. On the power pack, one of my complaints about the power pack is there's no power light. So when you have that power plugged into the AC outlet, you really don't see a little light. So I think that would have been something they could have added. It's cheap enough to add, but they didn't. You're now saying, what happened to the USB port? Well, it's actually on the side now. So you have the ability to plug in a stick or another drive into this Roku box, which I'll show you in a few seconds. So physically, the difference is certainly size. On the back, there's no more component out. It's only composite. I don't love it, but that's the way it is. And other than that, it's pretty sleek and pretty nice. Certainly the controller is significantly better. When you push the buttons, it works. And the old one, I used to pound on it, and sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. So one of the questions is, you know, is it worth upgrading? Should I upgrade? I have an old XR, it works fine. This is the difference. The difference really is in features. This is smaller, the new one's smaller, this is bigger. I don't really care. They're both very portable. The main difference is, on this one, if you have an old TV set and you're running your old television set and your Roku box on S out, and that's the only ability that you have to feed a signal in, you don't want to upgrade because you don't have an S out. If you were running component, you don't want to upgrade because, again, there's no component out. Composite is so old, I don't know what has composite inputs anymore. Certainly any television in the last 5 years is going to have HDMI input, and that's what really you should be running on these boxes. So from that standpoint of view, Is it worth upgrading? Not really. If it's running now and it works, I can't tell you any advantage. Software-wise, there's a slight difference between the two. This one, the new XS, comes with Angry Birds out of the box. If you like to play Angry Birds, then you may want to take a peek at that. I must tell you that people don't realize that the content on both the old XR and the new XS is exactly the same. The picture quality, if you're running 1080, is exactly the same. So from a practical standpoint of view, I don't think you can buy an old XR box. They're only selling the XX, the XS, and it's worth the money, no question about it. So primarily I'm talking to the people that have the old ones, and there's a ton of us that have the old ones. Should you upgrade? If you like Angry Birds, yeah. Otherwise, there is no reason to upgrade because you're not going to see any difference. Yes, the remote control is nicer, works a little bit better. It's easier to navigate around, but you know that's something you have to decide. In terms of quality and functionality, there is nothing, in my opinion, that comes close to the amount of content and the decent content that comes with the Roku box. They are, in my opinion, still the leaders. Getting back to the remote control box, when you pull this back apart, there's two batteries in here, and there's a switch. This actually slides out here. Right here, and I'll try to get a close-up on camera too, there's a little purple button, and that's going to throw some people off. You have to click this purple button to basically upgrade this with the new software that's in the XS. If you don't do that, you will have some issues with that. However, if you follow, that just slides back on there and locks in tight. This takes two small AAA batteries. If you follow the instructions out of the box from the Roku box on how to set it up, it will automatically update and you won't have to deal with that. If somehow my cousin did this, he just plugged it in and tried to work it and it didn't work and he couldn't understand what was wrong and he was upset, he called me and I said, what software version are you on? And he said, I don't know. So I told him how to go into the settings and find that out, and he was on an older version. Click the button, it upgraded, push the button inside here, bam, he's up and running. So with my particular unit, I didn't have to upgrade this. It was already done. In terms of upgrading, I mean the controller switch talking to this. It worked right out of the box. If not, you know about that purple switch. So what we're going to do now is I think something that's kind of interesting. People don't realize that there are channels that are private channels that are available on the Roku that you may not know that you can get. So one of the things you want to do when you get your Roku box is to immediately sign up. It's totally free to get the Roku blog. The Roku blog tells you everything you need to know about the Roku box. It also keeps you informed about the latest and greatest content. Now, what I found out, and I didn't know this, if we can go live, Mike, to the screen on the Roku box. It's asleep, so I'm going to let me get the right remote here. I'm going to click that, and it comes alive. Mike, you can take me off this for a second here. I'm just going to go through the channels. So right now, you're at the channel store, and as I click through, you see the Netflix, Amazon, and this is, again, exactly the same as the Roku has always been. The beauty of the Roku is, again, there's just so much content. So as you click through this, and I have a lot of channels up there, eventually you'll come to the Angry Birds, and if you click on that, it will bring you right into to the Angry Birds crouton, if you will. And it's coming up. So that gives you the ability, there it is, that gives you the ability to play games on this. Now, getting back to the hidden channels, there were two channels that I always liked to watch, and that's probably because the Gadget Professor is older than 21, but I like this Retrovision channel. And the reason I like it is because it has a lot of old-time black and white TVs that were classics and fun to watch. There is another channel that actually I've mentioned on the Gadget Professor several months ago that I also enjoy watching. Let's see here. It should be coming up. It also brings in a lot of old black and white. It's all black and white. Is PubD Hub. Now, that's an interesting channel. You have a lot of old-time movies. I always have liked the Sherlock Holmes movies and things of that nature. And each week, they update it. So as you go through this menu here, they have some Christmas content. You can go through cartoons, classic films, so on and so forth. Now, what they have started to do is they have this feature called Get PubD Hub Gold. It's not expensive. I think it's $3 a year. But if you are a member of the Gold membership for the PubD Hub, you're going to get 3 or 4 times the amount of content that you would normally get. So I thought that was interesting. I personally didn't sign up for it. Now, what I found out is if you got the blog from Roku, if you look at the screen that I'll give you the URL to, you go to Roku, the main page, and then down on the bottom, you'll actually see Connect, and there's a blog page there. If you connect to that blog page, you're going to learn some interesting things. So let's just cut to the chase, and we're going to go to the blog. And basically, one of the things I've learned in the blog, and you don't have to write this down, I'll put this up on the web for you, is that they have what's called private channels. And I didn't even know this. This blog is fairly old. It looks like it's from August. But it says they're closing in on 300 unique channels. Well, there's a lot more than that now. But one of the things it said is, let's see. You can go to the channel store and you can find a lot of channels. However, not all the channels available for the Roku can be found in the channel store. A significant number are published as private channels. While private channels look and feel similar to the channels found in the channel store, they are in fact very different. Roku does not review or approve private channels, so why would a developer choose to release a channel as a private channel instead of submitting it to the Roku channel store? Well, here's some reasons. The channel isn't ready for the Roku channel store. The developers use private channels to test their apps during the development process. The channel contains content not appropriate for the Roku store. An adult-oriented channel is a good example of a channel that Roku would not publicly publish. Another reason is the channel contains content is confidential or intended for members or employees of a specific group. For example, a company might develop a channel that contains training information for franchise. In other words, they want a password, a username, and a password, and it's on a subscription basis. And the way they're delivering the content to their public is through the Roku box, which is a great idea, by the way. So we have located here two new channels. And on the bottom, it says, well, how do you find private channels? Well, in many cases, the publishers of those channels intend to keep them truly private. However, if you conduct an internet search for a list of Roku private channels, in other words, go Google list of Roku private channels, you will find various lists and their associated installation codes. Note, while you may find some great content on private channels, you may experience issues such as frozen video, poor quality, that you wouldn't find on the public channels. Well, two channels here that they recommended that I had no idea even existed. One is called archive.org. And the other is called Radio Reference. So, Mike, let's go back to the full screen of the Roku. And I actually added those channels. It was real easy to add. I'm going to go back home here. And I actually added two channels. And what they are, to my amazement, is one of the channels, which was the RadioReference.com, is actually a storehouse. You can go to this on the web. Of all the police scanners across the world, actually, certainly everywhere in the United States. So if you're from Boston and you wanted to listen to the Boston police or the Quincy police or the Natick, Massachusetts police, you can go into that to that radio reference, and there it is there. We'll click on it. And it allows you to literally scan the state that you're in. There's Alabama. They're all in alphabetical order. Go into the county that you want to listen to, and oddly enough, you can listen to the police scanner live, and it's a fun thing to do, and it's free, and it's part of the Roku. It's one of those hidden channels, so that was kind of neat. The other channel that just blew my my brains away. I didn't even know it existed, was this archive.com. And this is really crazy. Remember I pointed out a couple minutes ago the two channels that I like to listen to that have the old-time TV and the old-time radio, the pub-to-hub and the Retrovision? Well, to my amazement, this is where they get all their content from. So you can actually go in here and get featured films, old television shows, old Popeye cartoons, Betty Boop, Roy Rogers, Gene Autry, and this stuff is fantastic. And there are thousands upon thousands of public domain television shows, public domain movies, cartoons, animations, videos, all kinds of fantastic content that is absolutely free. And let's just go in real quick. They had all the Sherlock Holmes series with Basil Rathbone, all the good stuff, but it just goes on and on and on forever and totally free. And oddly enough, that's where Pub2Hub gets their content from. They're selling it. Essentially, they're getting it for free. Now, of course, they have a lot of infrastructure and they condense everything, but let me be clear. This is exactly where they go to get their content. And if you'd ever, the Three Stooges are on this. They have, in one place I noticed, they had the original Three Stooges trailer that failed. It was the first one that they ever did. Never made TV per se, but they had it recorded in the archives, and you can go on that archive.com channel and watch that. So it's a great way to introduce your kids or your grandkids to what television was like back in the 30s. Well, it wasn't television in the 30s, but films from the 30s, shorts from the 30s, silent movies, Charlie Chaplin, all that stuff is available. They had Casper cartoons, Popeye cartoons, so in the early 50s, all kinds of crazy stuff was on television, and what a great way to get that content and share it with your family and friends. So I thought that was an interesting topic to take a peek at, and certainly the Roku brings that to the point where it's just a click and there it is. So a great way to get content. So that should probably wrap it up today. Next week we have a couple things going on. We're going to do an episode on a Sony remote speaker. Also, I have a new device on order. I should get it today, actually, put out by the people at Pogo Plug. And we're going to talk about that device. It's the Pogo Plug Series 4. That looks like an incredible piece of machinery. I can't wait to get that. So we'll be talking about that in our next episode. And last but not least, I want to tell everybody that the Gadget Professor is going to be broadcasting live from CES. And I know that Mike and I are going to be there, I believe, Monday, which I think is the 7th of January, the 8th, the 9th, and coming back the 10th at late at night. So I will fine-tune that in my next episode, but we will be broadcasting live with Todd Cochran directly from the Geek News Central booth and showing you what's live, what's cool at CES. So certainly you want to tune into the Gadget Professor and Geek News Central. We have a couple back channels there where we're going to be broadcasting live and literally interviewing as many people as we can. There's an entire team, part of the Geek News Central network, that's going to be at CES and working pretty hard to bring you the latest in events. So that should wrap it up today for the Gadget Professor. Appreciate you watching, and we'll see you next week. So long from the Gadget Professor.
The Gadget Professor is produced by Don Bain,
Multimedia Communications, LLC.
If you would like your product reviewed on the Gadget Professor or would like to appear on the Gadget Professor, contact us via email at thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, guests, call-in listeners, or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. And thank you for watching The Gadget Professor!